Major Harmon lurched to his feet as the explosions and screams erupted. He grabbed up his sword belt and dashed for the office door, swinging the belt around him as he ran. His clerk and orderly were still coming out of their chairs as he erupted into the anteroom.
"Get your weapons, goddammit!"
Harmon barked and charged out the office block's front door onto the parade ground between the two long rectangles of the barracks. Flames were already beginning to dance and glare through the barracks windows, and he heard a second wave of explosions as the Carisian seamen threw another dozen grenades into each building. Some of the wounded shrieks ended abruptly, but other sounds of agony replaced them. Harmon's belly knotted as he realized the attackers had already completely eliminated his borrowed company as a cohesive fighting force. But he didn't know how many of his men were actually dead or wounded, but even the ones who weren't would be too demoralized and terrified to offer any sort of effective resistance.
"And even if Tillotson might have been able to rally them, I won't be," he thought grimly. "They don't even know me, so why in hell should they listen to me in a mess like this?"
The beginning sputter and crackle of musketry from the west told him no one was likely to arrive to reinforce him, so Major Barclay Harmon hadn't thought about the way he'd just silhouetted himself against the lit window of the orderly room behind him. Nor did he ever, just as he never heard the sharp crack of the rifled musket which killed him. Sir Duncan Yearley allowed himself to feel a profound sense of relief as he observed the same musket fire Simon had seen and Harmon had heard. Obviously, the Marines had gotten into position to cover the road from the main fortress west of the town. According to their spies' reports, there were at least 3,000 men in that fortress's garrison. It was unlikely Major Zephyr's 200 Marines could hold them off forever, but surprise and confusion ought to keep them tied up for at least a while. Besides, Zephyr's rate of fire and ring-mounted bayonets ought to go a fair way towards equalizing the odds between them. A cannon boomed from the fortress. Yearley had no idea what the gunners behind it thought they were firing at. God knew the fortress's garrison had to be hopelessly confused by the sudden eruption of explosions and flames from the quietly sleeping town below its lofty headland perch. For all Yearley knew, they actually thought they'd seen Carisian galleons standing in to the attack. At least 2 dozen ships were thoroughly ablaze. More were smoldering, and the stiff breeze was blowing sparks, cinders, and flaming debris from one ship to another. The warehouses which served the harbor were taking fire nicely as well. Yearley hoped the flames wouldn't spread to the city proper, but he wasn't going to lose any sleep over the possibility. He looked out across the black mirror of the harbor, painted crimson with the rising torrents of flame, and saw more of his boats pulling strongly towards the merchant vessels anchored farther out. He also saw more than a few boats pulling away from those vessels as their vastly outnumbered anchor watches of merchant seamen beat hasty retreats.
"They're probably going to hear about things like deserting their posts later this morning," Yearley thought. "Not that they could have accomplished anything, except getting themselves killed if they'd stayed." "All right, Master Aplinar Mark," he said to the midshipman at his side. "Let's see to starting a few more fires of our own, and then I think it'll be time to go."
"Aye, aye, sir,"
Aplinar Mark replied with a huge grin and twitched his head at Stuart Malik.
"Come along, coxswain,"
he said, and went trotting along the waterfront, blowing on his slow match, while Malik hauled out the first incendiary and Yearley tagged along behind.